thanks for a wonderful introduction. Thank you all for being here. What I'm going to do is actually start with some short poems from a manuscript in progress. I won't tell you the title, but I say that these are short 16-line poems. I wanted to write a very long book of short poems. Ode to the Maggot. A brother of the blowfly in Godhead, you work magic over battlefields and slaps the back pork and flap houses. Yes, you go to the root of all things. You are sound and mathematical. And Jesus Christ, you're merciless with the truth. Ontological and lustrous, you cast spells on beggars and kings. Behind the stone door of Caesar's tomb, or split trench in a field of ragweed. No decree or creed can outlaw you as you take every living thing apart. Little master of earth, no one gets to heaven without going through you first. I wanted this book to be really about those things that we think of as insignificant. Ode to the Raccoon. I have witnessed you wash your paws, facing your moony reflection, have by dogwood. People say grace over you in the backwoods, garnished with sweet potatoes and red peppers. I have seen you fold your paws across ringed eyes to shield out flashlights as men climb oaks to shake you down for the dogs. Raised on hind legs with fruity entrails, perfuming the cold night air, you fought till the men kicked the dogs off to save you for their blessings. Lime. The victorious army marches into the city, and not far behind tarries a throng of women who slept with the enemy on the edge of battlements. The stern morning opens into a dust cloud of hooves and drums. Some new priests cradle stone tablets, and others are poised with raised mallets in a forest of defeated statuary. Of course, behind them linger the turncoats and pious merchants of lime. What's Greek is forged into Roman. What's Roman is hammered into a ceremony of birds headed east. Whatever's marble burns in the limekins because someone dreams of a domed bathhouse. Venus's flytraps. I am five, wading out into deep sunny grass, unmindful of snakes and yellow jackets, out to the yellow flowers quivering in sluggish heat. Don't mess with me, cause I have my Lone Ranger six shooter. I can hurt you with questions like silver bullets. The tall flowers in my dreams are big as the First State Bank and eat all the people except the ones I love. They have women's names with miles like where babies come from. I am five. I'll dance for you if you close your eyes, no, peeping through your fingers. I don't supposed to be this close to the tracks. One afternoon I saw what a train did to a cow. Sometimes I stand so close, I can see the eyes of men hotter than boxcars. Sometimes they wave and holler for me to get back. I laugh when trains make the dogs howl, their ears hurt. I also know bees can't live without flowers. I wonder why daddy calls mama honey. All the bees in the world live in little white houses, except the ones in these flowers, all sticky and sweet inside. I wonder what death tastes like. And sometimes I toss the butterflies back into the air. I wish I knew why the music in my head makes me scared, but I know things I don't supposed to know. I could start walking and never stop. These yellow flowers gone forever. almost to Detroit, almost to the sea. My mama says I'm a mistake that I made her a bad girl. My playhouse is underneath our house, and I hear people telling each other secrets. The smokehouse. In the hickory scent, among slabs of pork, glistened with salt, I played Indian in a headdress of red bird feathers and brass buttons off my mother's winter coat. Smoke wove a thread afar through meat into December and January, the dead weight of the place hung up around me, strung up with sweet grass. The hog had been suctioned, a map scored into skin, open like love, from snout to tail, the goodness no longer true to each bone. I was a wizard in that hazy world, and knew I could cut slivers of meat till my heart grew more human and flawed. Blackberries. They left my hands like a printer's, or thieves before a police blotter, and pulled me into early morning sweetness so thick the damp ground was consecrated, where they fell among a garland of thorns. Although I could smell old lime-covered history, at 10, I'd still hold up my hands and berries fell into them. Eating from one and filling a half gallon with the other, I ate the mythology and dreamt of pies and cobbler, almost needful as forgiveness. My bird dog spot, I'd blue jays and thrashers, the mud frogs and rich blackness hid from daylight. An hour later, beside City Limits Road, I banish a gleaming can, limboed between worlds, repeating $1. The big blue car made me sweat. Winter time crawled out of the windows. When I leaned closer, I saw the boy and girl my age in the wide back seat smirking. It was then I remembered my fingers burning with thorns among berries too ripe to touch. Yellow jackets. When the plow blade struck an old stump hiding under the soil, like a biggest rotten tooth, they swarmed up and Mr. Jackson left the plow wedged like a whaler's harpoon. The horse was midnight against dust, tied to somebody's pocket watch. He shivered, but not the way women shook their heads before mirrors at the five and dime, a deeper connection to the low field's even star. He stood there, and trace changed, lettered and frothed, just stopped by a great goofy calmness. He went at once, and then the whole beautiful blue-black sky fell on his back. My father's love letters. On Fridays, he'd open a can of Jack's after coming home from the mill, asked me to write a letter to my mother, who sent postcards of desert flowers taller than men. He would beg, promising never to beat her again. Somehow, I was happy she had gone, and sometimes wanted to slip in a reminder how Mary Lou Williams' polka dots and moonbeams never made the swelling go down. His carpenter's apron always budged with old nails, a claw hammer looped at his side, extension cords coiled around his feet. Words rolled from under the pressure of my ballpoint. Love, baby, honey, please. We sat in the quiet brutality of voltage meters and pipe threaders, lost between sentences. The gleam of a 5-pound wedge on the concrete floor pulled a sunset through the doorway of his tool shed. I wonder if she laughed and held them over gas burning. My father could only sign his name, but he'd look at blueprints and see how many bricks formed each wall. This man, who stole roses and hyacinth for his yard, would stand there with eyes closed and fists bowed, laboring over a simple word, almost redeemed by what he tried to say. Believing in art. The hills my brothers and I created never banned us, and it took years to discover how the world worked. We could look at a tree of blackbirds and tell you how many were there. But with the scrap dealer, our math was always off. Weeks of lifting and grunting never added up to much, but we couldn't stop believing in iron. Abandoned trucks and cars were held to the ground by thick, nostalgic fingers of vines strong as a dozen sharecroppers. We'd return with our wheelbarrow, groaning under a new load, yet tiger lilies never lived better in their languid August domain. Among paper and coke bottles, foundry smoke erased sunsets, and we couldn't believe iron left men bent so close to the earth as if the ore under their breath weighed down the gray sky. Sometimes I dreamt how our hills washed into a sea of metal, how it all became an anchor for a warship, a bomber, out over trees with blooms too red to look at. Slam dunking hook. Fast breaks, layups, with Mercury's insignia on our sneakers, we outmaneuvered the footwork of bad angels. Nothing but a hot swish of strains like silk 10 feet out. In the roundhouse labyrinth of our bodies created, we could almost last forever, poised in midair like storybook sea monsters. A high note hung there a lone second off the rim. We'd corkscrew up, dunk balls that exploded a skull cap of hope and good intention. Linky, all hands and feet sprung rhythm. We were metaphysical. When girls cheered on the sidelines, tangled up in a fallen, muscles were bright motor, double flashing to the metal hoop nailed to other oak. When Sonny Boy's mama died, he played nonstop all day, so hard of a backboard splintered, glistened with sweat, he rolled the ball off other fingertips. Trouble was there, slapping a blackjack against an open palm, dribble, drive to the inside, and glide like a sparrow hog. Layups, fast breaks. We had moves we didn't know we had. Our bodies spun on swivels of bone and faith through a lyric slipknot of joy, and we knew we were beautiful and dangerous. Camouflaging the chimera. We tied branches to our helmets. We painted our faces and rifles with mud from a riverbank. Blades of grass hung from the pockets of our tiger suits. We wove ourselves into the terrain, content to be a hummingbird's target. We hugged bamboo and leaned against the breeze off the river, slow dragging with ghosts from Saigon to Bangkok, of women left in doorways reaching in from America. We aimed at dark-hearted songbirds. In our way station of shadows, rock apes tried to blow our cover, throwing stones at the sunset. Chameleons crawl over spines, changing from day to night, green to gold, gold to black. But we waited till the moon touched metal, till something almost broke inside us. VC struggled with the hillside, like black silk wrestling iron through grass. We weren't there. The river ran through our bones. Small animals took refuge against our bodies. We held our breath, ready to spring the L-shaped ambush as the world revolved under each man's eyelid. You and I are disappearing. The cry I bring down from the hills belongs to a girl still burning inside my head at daybreak. She burns like a piece of paper. She burns like foxfire in a thigh-shaped valley. A skirt of flames dances around her at dusk. We stand with our hands hanging at her sides while she burns like a sack of dry ice. She burns like oil on water. She burns like a cattail torch dipped in gasoline. She glows like the fat tip of a banker cigar. silent as quicksilver, a tiger under a rainbow at nightfall. She burns like a shot glass of vodka. She burns like a field of poppies at the edge of a rainforest. She rises like dragon smoke to my nostrils. She burns like a burning bush driven by a god-awful wind. We never know. He danced with tall grass for a moment like he was swaying with a woman. Other gun barrels glowed white hot. When I got to him, a blue halo of flies had already claimed him. I pulled the crumpled photograph from his fingers. There's no other way to say this. I fell in love. The morning cleared again, except for a distant motor, and somewhere choppers taken off, I slid the wallet into his pocket and turned him over so he wouldn't be kissing the ground. A break from the bush. The South China Sea drives in another herd. The volleyball's a punching bag. Clem's already lost a tooth, and Johnny's left eye is swollen shut. Frozen airlift steaks burn on a wire grill. Miles away, machine guns can be heard. Pretending we're somewhere else, we play harder. Leotis, the point man, high on Buddha grass, bears himself up to his neck in sand. Can you see me now? This is the spot they're gonna build a Hilton. Invest in paradise. Bang, bozos, you're dead. French's cassette player unravels Hendrix's purple haze. Snake 17 from Daytona sits at the water's edge, the ash on his cigarette pointing to the ground like a crooked finger. CJ, who in 3 days would trip a fragmentation mine, runs after the ball into the white caps laughing. Tudor Street. Thank you. It's hiding here somewhere, right? Tudor Street. Music divides the even. I close my eyes and can see men drawing lines in the dust. America pushes through the membrane of mist and smoke, and I'm a small boy again in Bogalusa. White only signed in Hank Snow. But tonight, I walk into a place where bar girls fade like tropical birds. When I order a beer, the mama-san behind the counter acts as if she can't understand, while her eyes skirt each white face as Hank Williams calls from the psychedelic jukebox. We have played Judas where only machine gun fire brings us together. Down the street, black GIs hold to their turf also. An off-limits sign pulls me deeper into alleys as I look for a softness behind these voices wounded by their beauty in war. Back in the bush at Dokto, Kaesong, we fought the brothers of these women we now run to hold in our arms. There's more than a nation inside us. As black and white soldiers touched the same lovers minutes apart, tasting each other's breath without knowing these rooms run into each other like tunnels leading to the underworld. Prisoners. Usually at the helipad, I see them stumble dance across the hot asphalt, with croaker sacks over their heads, moving towards the interrogation huts, thin framed as box kites of sticks and black silk, anticipating a hard wind that'll tug and snatch them out into space, I think. Some must be laughing under their dust-colored hoods, knowing rockets are aimed at Chulai, that the water's evaporating, and soon the nail will make contact with metal. How can anyone anywhere love these half-broken figures bent under the sky's brightness? The weight they carry is the soil we tread night and day. Who can cry for them? I've heard the old ones are the hardest to break, an arm twist, a combat boot against a skull, a 45 jabbed into the mouth. Nothing works. When they start talking with ancestors, faint as camphor smoke and pagodas, you know you have to kill them to get an answer. Sunlight throws scythes against the afternoon. Everything's a heat mirage. A river tugs at their slow feet. I stand alone in a maze with a pale happy door gunner signaling for me to board the Cobra. I remember how one day I almost bowed to such figures walking towards me. I can't say why. From a half mile away, trees huddled together and the prisoners looked like marionettes hooked to strings of light. The title of this poem is Thanks. A little water before I run out of breath here. This is a great occasion, I want to say that. Thanks for inviting me. I've been teaching the work of George Moses Horton for a number of years. I'm surprised. Title of this poem is Thanks. A thanks for the tree between me and a sniper's bullet. I don't know what made the grass wait seconds before the Viet Cong raised the sound of his rifle. Some voice always followed, telling me which foot to put down first. Thanks for deflecting the ricochet against that anarchy of dust. I was back in San Francisco, wrapped up in a woman's wild colors, causing some dark bird's love call to be shattered by daylight when my hands reached up and pulled a branch away from my face. Thanks for the vague white flower that pointed to the gleaming metal, reflecting how it is to be broken like mist over the grass as we played some deadly game for blind gods. What made me spot the monarch on a single thread, tied to a farmer's gate, holding today together like an unfingered guitar string is beyond me. Maybe the hills grew weary, leaned a little in the heat. Again, thanks for the dead hand grenade tossed at my feet outside Chul. I am still falling through silence. I don't know why the intrepid sun touched the bayonet, but I know that something stood among those lost trees and moved only when I moved. Let me read a different kind of poem. First place I read in Australia is in Sydney, a place called Harold Park Hotel. Title of this poem is Blue Light Land Sutra for the Performance Poets at Harold Park Hotel. The need gotta be so deep, words can't answer simple questions all night long. Notes stumble off the tongue and color the air indigo. So deep, fragments of gut and flesh cling to the song. You gotta get into it so deep, salt crystallizes on eyelashes. The need gotta be so deep, you can vom up ghosts and not feel broken. Till you're no more than a half ounce of gold and painful brightness. You gotta get into it, blow that saxophone. So deep, all the sex and dope in this world can't erase your need to howl against the sky. The need gotta be so deep, you just can't wiggle your hips and rise up out of it. Chaos in the cosmos, modern man in a pepper pot. You gotta get hooked into every hungry groove. So deep the bomb, locked and rust, opens like a fist. Into it, so deep rhythm is pre-memoried. The need gotta be base and animal need to see and know the terror we are made of, honey. Cause if you wanna dance this boogie, be ready to let the devil use your head for drum. Ode to a drum. Gazelle, I kill you for your skin's exquisite touch, for how easy it is to be nailed to a board, weathered raw as white butcher paper. Last night, I heard my daughter praying for the meat here at my feet. You know it wasn't anger that made me stop my heart till the hammer fell. Weeks ago, I broke you as a woman once shouted me into a song beneath her weight before you slouched into that grassy hush. But now, I'm tightening lashes, shaping hard as if around a rib cage stretched like five bowstrings. Ghosts cannot slip back inside the body's drum. You've been seasoned by wind, dust, and sunlight. Pressure can make everything whole again. Brass nails tacked into the ebony wood. Your face has been carved five times. I have to drive trouble from the valley, trouble in the hills, trouble on the river too. There's no cola nut, palm wine, fish, salt, or calabash. Kadom! 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 Kadum. Now, I have beaten a song back into you. Rise and walk away like a panther. I went back to Vietnam in 1990 to meet with the five other veterans, happened to be writers, to meet with the Vietnamese Writers Union. This was the first poem I wrote, a reed boat. The boat's tarred and shellacked to a water-repellent finish, just swayed dancing with the current's ebb, light as a woman in love. It pushes off again, cutting through lotus blossoms, sediment, guilt, unforgivable darkness. Anything with half a root, a heart, could grow in this lagoon. There's a pull against what's hidden from day, all that hurts. At dawn, the gatherers shatter, backstrokes across water, an instrument tomb for guards and monsters in the murky kingdom below. Blossoms lean into his fast hands, as if snapping themselves in half, giving in to some law. Slow rhetorical light cuts between night and day, like nude bathers embracing. The boat nudges deeper with the ease of silverfish. I know by his fluid movements, there isn't the shatter of a bomber on the water anymore, gliding like a dream of death. Mystery grows out of the decay of dead things, each blossom a kiss from the unknown. When I stand on the steps of Hanoi's Westlake guest house, feeling that I'm watched as I gaze at the boatman, it's hard to act like we are the only two left in the world. He balances on his boat around, turning left and right, reaching through and beyond, as if the day is a woman he can pull into his arms. The next poem is entitled, The Deck. I have almost nailed my left thumb, chewed the 2x4 brace that holds the deck together. This Saturday morning in June, I have sawed 2x6s, T-squared and levered everything with three bubbles sealed in green glass, and now the sweat on my tongue tastes like what I am. I know I'm alone, using leverage to swing the long boards into place, but at times it seems as if there are two of us working side by side, like old lovers guessing each other's moves. This hammer is the only thing I own of yours, and it makes me feel as if I've carpentered for years. Even the crooked nails are going in straight. The handsaw glides through grease, the toenail studs hold. The deck has risen up around me, and now strong enough to support my weight, to not sway with this old silly wrong-footed dance I'm about to throw my whole body into. Plumb from sky to ground, this morning's work can take nearly anything. With so much uproar, punishment, footwork, and the foyer. I'm almost happy this Saturday. I walk back inside, and here you are, plain and simple as the sunlight on the tools outside. Daddy, if you'd come back a week ago, a day before yesterday, I would have been ready to sit down and have a long talk with you. There were things I wanted to say, so many questions I wanted to ask, but they have been answered with as much salt and truth as we can expect from the living. I'll just read a few last poems. Rhythm Method. All about music. If you were sealed inside a box, within a box deep in a forest, with no bird songs, no crickets rubbing legs together, no leaves letting go of branches, you still hear the rhythm of your heart. A red tide, a beach fish, oscillates in sand, copulating beneath a full moon. And we can call this the first rhythm because sex is what nudged the tongue away and taught the hand to hit drums and embrace reed flutes before they were worked from wood and myth, up and down, in and out. The piston drives the dream home. Water drips to the scups of cup and a slab of stone. At first, no bigger than a thimble. It holds joy, but grows to measure the rhythm of loneliness that melts sugar and tea. There's a season for snakes to shed rainbows on the grass, for locusts to chant out of the dunghill. Oh yes, oh yes, oh yes, oh yes, is a confirmation the skin sings to hands. The mantra of spring rain opens the rose and spider lily into shatter, and someone plays the bones till they rise and live again. We know the whole weight depends on small silences we fit ourselves into. High hills at daybreak is the saddest refrain. If you can see blues in the ocean, light and dark, can feel worms ease through a subterranean path beneath each footstep, baby, you got rhythm. Facing it. Did I read that? No. I don't think so. My black face fades, hiding inside the black granite. Inside a wooden, damn it, no tears. I'm stone. I'm flesh. My clouded reflection eyes me like a bird of prey. The profile of night slanted against morning. I turn this way. The stone lets me go. I turn that way. I'm inside the Vietnam Veterans Memorial again, depending on a light to make a difference. I go down the 58,022 names, half expecting to find my own in letters like smoke. I touch the name Andrew Johnson. I see the booby trap's white flash, name shimmer on the woman's blouse, but when she walks away, the name's still on the wall. Breaststrokes flash, a red bird's wings cutting across my stare, the sky, a plane, in the sky, a white vet's image floats closer to me, then his eyes look through mine. I'm a window. He's lost his right arm inside the stone. In the black mirror, a woman's trying to erase names. No, she's brushing a boy's hair. Anodyne, be the last poem. I love how it swells into a temple where it is held prisoner, where the god of blame resides. I love slopes and peaks, the secret paths that make me selfish. I love my crooked feet, shaped by vanity and work shoes made to outlast belief, the hardness, coupling milk it can't fashion. I love the lips, salt, and honeycomb on the tongue, the hair holding off rain and snow, the white moons on my fingernails. I love how everything bathes blood into song and prayer, and Chardonnay, a ghost, hums through my bones like Pan's midnight flute, shaping internal laws beside a troubled river. I love this body, made to weather the storm in the brain, raised out of the deep smell of fish and water hyson, out of rapture and the first regret. I love my big hands, I love it clear down to the soft, quick motor of each breath, the liver's 10 kinds of desire, the kidneys lust for sugar, the skin, the sack of dung and joy, the spleen floating like a compass needle inside nighttime, always divining West Africa's dusty horizon. I love the birthmark, posed like a fighting cock on my right shoulder blade. I love this body, this solo ragtime jubilee behind the left nipple, because I knew I was born to wear out at least 100 angels.
Thank you.